you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, if you would, stand to your feet, and we'll begin reading in verse 5. This is where we left off Joseph on Wednesday night. And so, my Joseph has had a ride, hasn't he? I mean, he started in a wonderful, wonderful place, found himself in a pit, and then he found himself on the top of the mountain. Then he finds himself in prison. And now in prison, some other things took place and is going to happen. And so I admire Joseph tonight. I really do look at his life and want to be a imitator of it. And the fact that he just keeps on keeping on. Amen. And so here in chapter 40, verse 5, it says, "And they dreamed a dream, both of them," talking about the butler and the baker, "each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he said, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are the 3 days. Yet therein, within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler." Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to help tonight. God, give us your wisdom. Give us your mind. I pray you guard my lips and my mind tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll be magnified in all that's said and done. God, may this not be a waste of time. God, may our minds not be thinking of something different. God, may we focus tonight and concentrate on the Word of God. God, that's where our help comes from. God, that's where we get healing at. God, that's where you bind, dear God, and bound up the things, dear Lord, that's loosened. God, I pray tonight, Father, that you'd have your way. God, preach to us and teach us tonight. In Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen. Amen. I need to make a correction from Wednesday night concerning, as I was preaching, I kept on saying Pharaoh's servant, and I kept on saying Pharaoh's wife. It was Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. And so I want to make that correction. I don't hardly do that type of stuff. I don't know why I did it that night, but I got just thinking in that direction, and so I just want to make the correction here and make it right. I don't want to go any farther without doing that. And so that being said, tonight we find here in Genesis chapter 40 and starting in verse 5, I want you to notice some things that Joseph is in prison. Joseph is in that place called the dungeon. He's in that place that is even called the house, the keeper's house there, or the guard's house. And as we find tonight, while he's in prison, Joseph could be doing a lot of things. Amen. He could be in a lot of attitudes. He could be demonstrating a lot of behaviors. He could be having some withdrawal. He could be having some isolation. He could be angry, mad, or bitter tonight. He can have a lot of things. You think about Joseph's life up to this point, and if you've been in the service any time of faithfulness, you'll find that where he started was in Jacob's home, and the favored son, and he had it made there, and then his brothers decided to put him in a pit, and they decided to sell him, and they decided to sell him to Egypt, to Potiphar, and now we find himself as Potiphar's wife was trying to lie with him. He refused to do so. Potiphar came home, put him into prison. We find that now he's in prison. While he's in prison, there was two other fellows that came named the butler and the baker. And so as we find the baker and the butler in prison with Joseph here, I want you to notice tonight, in the midst of a troubled, or the midst of a storm, or the midst of a difficulty time, I want you to notice the heart of Joseph. Notice the heart of Joseph. And boy, I want to encourage you, dear children of God, it's not always going to be on the mountaintop, but you always got to be, watch your heart. You always got to be careful of your heart. You can't trust your heart tonight. It is desperately wicked. The Bible says you're a fool if you trust your heart. It's not your heart tonight that you need to trust in. It's the Lord who created the heart. But tonight we need to guard our heart. We need to make sure that our heart's in the right place. We got to make sure that our heart is in doing the right thing. Amen. Even though it's something that may be contrary to where we want to be, it may not be exactly how we want it to be. We may be facing some opposition or some contrary-wise under our lives tonight. But I want you to notice, in the midst of this time with Joseph tonight, is that his heart was that he was interested in others. Tonight, I would say that Christians tonight, whether you're in a dungeon or whether you're in the prison or whether you're in a good day or a good time, I believe tonight your heart ought to be such a way that you're interested in others. Now look at Pharaoh. Look at Joseph. Joseph here was in prison, and these fellows were in prison, and everybody in prison is not there because they didn't do anything wrong. Now we know that Joseph was, but we find that others that were in prison tonight. And now we see that Joseph, there in verse 6, it said, Joseph came in unto them in the morning. I wonder, when he came in the morning, was he whistling? You ever met those people? I mean, in the mornings, they got such a shiny, smiling face, and they say, good morning. And you're not saying, this ain't a good morning. I don't even want to wake up. I'm ready to go back to bed. And they just got all this chippery about them. I mean, they get on your nerves. You know what I mean? Have you met those people before? I mean, mornings, I hate mornings. Mornings is not my favorite time. And when people come in and hello, how you doing? Good morning. Man, you just want to tell them to shut up. Anybody like that? Raise your hand. All right, I appreciate your honesty, man. But here comes Joseph in the morning of prison. And he comes in, and he says he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Now I want you to notice tonight, if you're not interested in others, you'll not ever notice whether they're sad, mad, or glad. Many people tonight call themselves Christians and call themselves the followers of God, and they live almost their whole lifetime not ever interested in others. Not ever interested in what other people are feeling, what they're going through, what they might be having upon their lives, the burdens and the cares of lives, and they just go right by them, they go right through them, and friend, they just pass them by. How many tonight have been guilty of just walking by and passing through without being interested with others because we're in a bad mood? Because we have had a fight with our spouse. Oh, because we have done something or had something done that wasn't nice and good to us. It just wasn't the right time. It just wasn't the right feeling. They used to say, I don't feel it. Amen? And so many a days and many a times, how many times do we go by with others around us and we're saying in our own mind and heart, listen, poor, pitiful me, and I've got to face all this I'm facing and all this I'm going through. I don't give a rip about anybody else right now. I just care about me. How many of us honestly can say that? That was me. That was guilty of that. Joseph was a man whose heart was interested in others. A period of his time, friend, he was in this prison for doing what was right. He was in this prison for saying no to temptation. But he was interested in others. How we know that? Because he noticed their sadness. I want to encourage you, church, when you come to the house of God, would you be interested in others? Would you look upon people tonight? Would you see whether they're sad or glad or mad? Would you be interested enough tonight to have your heart in such a place that not only do you notice their sadness, but you begin to question their sadness? He said in verse 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look you so sadly today? Listen, there's nothing wrong tonight if you find somebody sad. I don't know about you, but I don't like being sad. Do you like being sad? Some of you are your sad sack. But I don't like being sad. So, you know, do you ever just wake up in the morning and you're sad? You ever just, you're glad in the morning, all of a sudden around noontime or something, all of a sudden you get sad? You think, why am I sad? I mean, sometimes in the evening and you get toward the end of the day and you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you just get sad. You ever been like that? What's wrong with us? I don't get that. I mean, it happens to me. And all of a sudden I'm not so happy and sad. Nothing's ever happened. Nothing went wrong. Nothing changed. Just my emotion, just my thought. I guess I don't know what it is tonight. But the fact of the matter is, if you would be interested in somebody, if interested in people tonight, where your heart was at, friend, you'll find that when you see them sad, you'll say to them, why are you sad? You know, what's wrong with some of this world tonight is that we don't want to get involved in people's lives. It's bad out there in the world. You find somebody out there, you see a man beating on a woman, people drive right by and do nothing about it. You'll find a man pulling the kid by the hair, pick him up by the shirt, and throw him over there, or hitting him with something, a belt or something, and we'll just look at it and say, wow, we do something different now. We get our cameras out. That's going to help that. That's going to help the one that's getting beaten up. We just get our camera out and go, I got this. Channel 13, I got it. $10,000. $10,000, I give it to you. And so we find today in the mentality of a world, and I hope it's not in the church tonight, that, listen, if we are in a bad place and we're in an awful place tonight and it's not what we like, but can we have a heart like Joseph, and that is that we'd be interested in others, that we see them sad, and then we question them. Why are you sad? Is there something wrong with that? Something wrong with questioning somebody why you're sad? You're in my business. Some people might say, I don't know why I'm sad. But the fact of the matter is just you asking about it would help their sadness. Dad, man, when people know that you care, when people know that you're interested in them, it does make a big difference, amen? So I find that he noticed the sadness. And I want to encourage the church to go around and look and pay attention and be sensitive to others around you to see if they're sad. And if they are sad, ask them why. Number three, I noticed that he responded to their sadness. Look at verse 8, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpret. Interpretations belong to God. Tell me them, I pray you. And so he responded. He responded to their sadness. And that's what we need to do tonight. We need to find ourselves, maybe it's not in prison as Joseph was, but in a bad spot of life. In order for us to have a heart like God, like Joseph, we're going to have place of our interest in our others around us tonight. And we must not do that, but we must intervene between others. Verses 9 through 13. The Bible says, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. See, what Joseph now is doing is he says, let me tell you what God said. That's what Joseph's doing. Look at the conversation that takes place. He said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. He tells him the very dream. And Joseph says in verse 12, now he's intervening here. He says, Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are the 3 days. He tells him, within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. You know, tonight, when you intervene between others tonight, it might just come with just a kind word. You find somebody sad tonight, intervene. Have a kind word. Kind word go a long ways. I'll tell you something else tonight that may be a help is a small deed. Just a small little deed. Not much, not something that's going to cost you anything, much of anything, but just a small deed. I've seen situations where you find these stickers. that gets in primaries and little elementary kids get these stickers that they do well. And I've seen time somebody find somebody sad. These are adults. They take one of those stickers and it might say Jesus loves you, and they put the sticker on their arm like that. Just walk by and put the sticker on their arm. And they say, "Oh, you're right. Jesus does love me." That's something a little silly, but man, it sure makes a difference. A small deed is a kind word. How about a soft touch? How about just patting them on the back? How about just patting them on the shoulder? How about doing that? How about grabbing, I tell you, something else that may help some sadness of people, and you shake their hand like this. Shake my hand, Brother Raymond. You shake my hand like that, and that would just be normal. But if I go like that, that's just something special. That just brings something out with it. Is that true? I might be in a dark place, but he might be in one too. But when my heart's right with God and my heart's with God, I'm even more concerned about him than I am for me. It's almost say, have a kind word. I'm going to have a gentle touch, a soft touch. I'm going to have maybe something of a small deed. I'm going to come to a place, maybe a short visit. Not a long visit, just sit there. And somebody that's sitting there along in the church. And I use Sister Arlene, for example, since she's on the outside. And she's sitting here, nobody's talking to her. I just come sit right here. And for about, how you doing? You doing okay? How was your day? How was your week? You say, always fine. About the same. All right, well, good to see you. Now, that took about 13 seconds. Just a little visit. Now, I don't know if that helps her. I don't know if that helps her, but I would say tonight it would help me. Just somebody spending just 13 seconds with me. Just acknowledging me that I'm here and that I am thinking of her. That I'm interested in how she's feeling. This is real Christianity, amen? And this is why he's in prison. I say that the last thought tonight is a quick call. Just a quick call. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I don't want anything. And most people call because they want something. I don't want nothing. This one lets you know I'm thinking about you. Have a good day. Goodbye. I'm not interested in talking to you for 30 minutes. I'm not interested in finding out what's going on. I'm not interested for you to give me some gossip. All I'm interested in is just to let you know I'm thinking of you. See, these small little things can be a help, as it was to Joseph as he spoke to the man that was in prison with him. Let me tell you what God said. Let me assure you what God meant. And let me encourage you, he's saying, to what God's going to do. And he tells the butler, listen, it's going to be okay. I mean, according to your dream, God said, according to your dream, God meant that those three branches were 3 days. And what God was going to do is God's going to restore you back to the place that you were whenever you were taken out of the home and putting into the prison. Now, that's encouraging. And all that Joseph ever did was he didn't tell him anything that was just abnormal. He just told him what God said. He just told him what God meant. He just told him what God was going to do. And boy, I tell you, that made a big difference for the butler, didn't it? Amen? And so we find that the heart of Joseph in prison was that he was interested in others and he intervened between others. I want to encourage you, church, to do that. I beg you tonight. We're all we got. If God blesses us with more, we'll receive them and take them in. But if God don't, friend, we've got to take what we have and love them to death. Friend, we've got to find that even though we might be in prison or dark times or in the storms, down in the valley, it does not take us from our responsibility to be interested in others. Amen. Number two, do I notice the heart of Joseph? But I notice the hope of Joseph in prison. Look at verse 14. I just sense from Joseph this hope. Look what he says. He said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Do you see hope? Man, I sense it with Joseph. And the reason why he has hope tonight is because in his prison, in his dark day, in his difficult day, he was more interested in others than he was himself. And so he goes and finds him that was sad, asks him why you're sad, and then he tells him what he needs to hear, what God said, what God meant, what God was going to do. And that gave hope to Joseph, because here now the butler's about to get out of prison. He's about to get back where he was. He's about to be in front of Pharaoh. He's about to be able to do something that may bring hope to Joseph. See, that's how it works in this life. If you can bring hope to somebody else, it will bring hope to you. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. What goes out will come back. I just say to you tonight, Joseph sowed hope with this man, and this man brought hope to Joseph. Well, the hope of Joseph, don't you notice his excitement? He said, think on me. Now, why could Joseph say that? He could say that because he thought of him. Right? When Joseph was walking in the prison, he could have been walking around saying, when I'm going to get out of here, I don't belong in here. But no, he was walking around looking. And he saw the man that was sad. He went over and talked to him about being sad. And he gave him hope, friend. And now we find that because of Joseph was thinking about him, Joseph now has hope. He says, think about me. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Ain't that the way that works? You help me, I help you. That's what we ought to be about. Amen? So we find that Joseph's excitement is that the reason why he could say thank on him because he thought of him. It's what he did. It's the way that's just the way Joseph is. That's just what he does. Amen? Secondly, I notice his excitement in this scripture talking about hope, but I notice his emotion. He says, show kindness. He's telling the butler, man, be merciful to me, okay? Listen, butler, I want you to do something. I want you to be loving. Show some kindness. I mean, listen, when you get out and all things are well and you're doing your thing up there with Pharaoh, and man, you've got your butlership going and you're doing all the work and you got it going on, show some kindness. Be merciful to me, okay? Man, love me, please. Well, he had some hope with that excitement, with that emotion. Then I want you to notice his enlightenment. Verse 14, he says, I pray thee unto me, make mention of me unto Pharaoh. I mean, listen. Tell Pharaoh what happened. Tell Pharaoh that you came to prison. And while you was at prison, you had a dream. And you had no idea what the dream was. And let him know what I told you. And then let him know that it did come to pass. Man, mention him to Pharaoh. Boy, he had some enlightenment. Boy, he had a plan, it looked like. It looked like, man, he had some hope. I'm going to get out of this thing, because sure enough, when this butler gets into this and with Pharaoh, he's going to tell Pharaoh all about the dream and all about the interpretation of it and all about what went on, and I'll be out of here shortly. Just mention me to Pharaoh. That's all I need. He was enlightened. He was emotional. He was excited. But then his notice is expectation. Verse 14, he says, and bring me out of this house. Man, listen, I'm leaving. It's just a matter of days now. It's just a matter of time of whenever old butler gets down there with the Pharaoh. He said, I'm done. I'm done with this prison. I'm going to bring me out of this house. I'm leaving out. I'm free. I'm gone. I'm telling you, what expectation that Joseph had, didn't he? He just knew with the enlightenment he had and the emotion that he showed and with the very mindset that he had that he is now going to go. But look at his explanation in verse 15. He said, the reason I feel this way is because, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of Hebrews. And here I have I done nothing that should put me into the dungeon. He said, I don't belong here. He said, not only do I don't belong here, but I don't deserve this. See, I was sold, or he was sold, but Joseph said that he was stolen. That's two different things. He don't consider himself to be sold. He considers himself to be stolen. Somebody stole me out of the Hebrew. He thought that he was, according to the Bible, that he was indicted. But to Joseph, he was innocent. So Joseph is seeing this from a different perspective. So his explanation was, I was stolen. I'm innocent. And man, I'm here in this dungeon. I need out. That's the hope. He had some hope. Sure enough, He told the butler, and the butler's interpretation came true. The butler was restored. You read it, I ain't going to read it, but you can read it a little further down. The baker was hanged. Joseph now has come to the place where he was forgotten. Look at verse 23. It says, Yet did not the butler, chief butler, remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph was forgotten. I mean, I can imagine the days. So it's just going to be a few days now. Weeks. And any week now, I know they're fixing to come get me. Months. Years. 2 years go by. Joseph still in prison. Joseph still doing what he'd done. Hopes were shattered. Dreams were crushed. Life was battered. Can I say to you tonight, dear children, that man will fail you. Man will fail you. Can I say to you that man will forget you? Yeah. Don't trust in man. Fools do that. So the hope of Joseph in prison, gone. He trusted in a man. Trusted in the butler. I want you to notice thirdly tonight, the help of Joseph in prison. Now this is really where he got help. I notice in chapter 41, and we see in verse 9, verses 1 through 8, we find that Pharaoh had a dream. He fell asleep, had another dream. He called for all of the men of that time, the wise men, and all the magicians and all those that were able to take that dream and interpret it. We find in verse 8 that they could not. And then in verse 9, we find that God uses man to help us. The same man that they gave us hope 2 years ago is the same man that God is going to use to help Joseph. So that tells me and you tonight that when somebody hurts us, and when somebody don't do what they say they might do, or some people disappoint us, or some people forget us, and some people fail us, don't cut them off. Don't turn them away. Don't make them your enemy. Because it just might mean that somewhere down the line that God's going to use that same person to help you. The one that hurt you. Ain't that something? Now I wonder, Joseph, 2 years later, if he wasn't saying, if I ever get my hands on the butler, I will promise you he'll never forget me again. Matter of fact, I'll put things on his body that will remind him every time he sees it. Joseph was here. Oh, but Joseph, friend, in verses 9 through 14, let's read it. And it said, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Oh, he asked for forgiveness. Butler's free now. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house. Both me and the chief baker, we dreamed a dream one night, and I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. There was there with a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and he in him he hanged. Boy, I tell you, we've had something happening here in the way of man. Man bringing help to us. And man can help us. God does use man to help us. But it's going to have to be in God's time. Amen? 2 years later, it's going to have to be in God's power. It's going to have to be with God's hand. Now turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It's a real familiar verse. We use this verse a lot in the way of giving your tithes and giving things tonight. But it's not always that application. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Man, that's pretty good, don't you think? Man, if I can give something to somebody, and the promise of that is coming back to me of good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that's a whole lot more than I gave. I mean, God is promising us if we give, we're going to get back. But look who God uses in order for us to get back. He says, and shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Shall men give unto your bosom. Men shall give unto your bosom. Tonight, if we're going to get help, and listen, dear friend, we're not going to get help like a check down from heaven. We check into our mailbox, and there's a letter there that says, hi, I'm God. Here's $1 million.
Amen.
That's not going to work like that. God isn't going to do things of that nature. God is not going to just do things that's going to help you, friend. But God will use men to help you, amen. God will bring men and women into your life. God will bring people into your path. God will bring others into your direction. Hey, friend, listen, don't discount people. Don't let people go. Don't just shut them off. Don't just look at them and just laugh at them tonight. Because you never know, friend, it may be something that God has sent your way. Somebody, some people, some person. And God says that you gave, and I'm fixing to give back to you. Through them will you get. Don't discard them. Don't discard them. I bless one of the reasons why the Bible says to love your enemies. Because God can use your enemies to meet your need later on down the day. So we find tonight that Joseph got some help. It was man that God used to help Joseph. It was the butler telling Pharaoh about what took place. Well, the next thing you know, that God uses Pharaoh to help us. Pharaoh's a heathen. Pharaoh, he's not interested in God at all. Pharaoh tonight can care less. But God's using somebody who cares less about him. God's fixing to use somebody right here named Pharaoh to help Joseph, one of his children. Chapter 41 and verse 1 through 8, the Bible says that God gives Pharaoh dreams. Now he could have gave Pharaoh dreams years ago, but he chose to do it when Joseph's in prison. Ain't that something? So we find God gives Pharaoh dreams. Verses 1 through 8, we find that God moves Pharaoh to get an interpretation of the dream. Pharaoh could have had the dream, and Pharaoh could have said, well, I don't know what that means. He goes back to sleep, and God gives him another dream. A different dream, but the same dream. Same thing, what he's trying to say. All of a sudden, Pharaoh says, I need an interpreter. I'm bothered. Man, my spirit within me is stirred up. I've got to know what this means. Who you think stirred him up? Who you think brought the mind of Pharaoh that I need to go further and I got to know what's really going on the dreams? It was God. God gave him the dreams. God gave him the movement, the stirring, to get the interpretation of the dreams. It was God that places Pharaoh in the presence of the butler. It was God who put the butler and put the baker in the time of Joseph in prison. It was God that placed Joseph next to the baker to give the interpretation of the dream so the baker can go see Pharaoh, so the Pharaoh could need interpretation of his dreams, and they didn't have it. And it was the baker or the butler that said to Pharaoh, I know a man. And God's going to use Pharaoh to help Joseph. The butler finds that he admits to his faults. He confesses his failures. He began to think about Joseph. He began to show some kindness towards Joseph. And he made mention of Joseph. Exactly what Joseph hoped for. The very thing that gave Joseph hope, 2 years later, God brought it to pass. Listen, dear children of God, you might have hope It may not have happened yet. Just hold on. It may be 2 years, and God will bring that hope to you. I hope this happens. I hope that happens. Boy, I need this to happen. I wish that happens. I dream for this, and I'm praying for that. And you ain't seen anything yet. Just wait. Just hold on. How many years have you been praying for your children? How many years have you been praying for some family members? How many times have you prayed for certain situations and circumstances in your home and your family and your marriage? How many times have we prayed for certain people to get saved and they're not saved just yet? Listen, hold on! Can I just make you aware of something? God's working. He's working behind the scenes. He's got things just right. He'll get it done. You're just going to have to wait on Him. Amen. God uses Pharaoh to help us. God not only places Pharaoh in the presence of the butler, but God stirs Pharaoh's heart to get Joseph out. Verse 14. He said, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Now, I want to say something tonight about the details of the Scripture. I believe tonight it would have been just fine if the Scripture said this, that Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and came into Pharaoh. I believe that would have been just fine, wouldn't you? I don't think tonight that would change the Scripture. That wouldn't have done anything for the story being told. But God put some details in here about Joseph. Boy, I want you to notice these details. He said that they came and got Joseph. Now, Joseph's in prison for something he didn't do. Joseph's in prison 2 years longer because there was a butler that forgot him. He got a call. You're going to go see Pharaoh. Two things he did. He honored the position of Pharaoh. He shaved himself. Ain't that something? It's a funny thing to me that, Brother Keith, you might want to confirm this with me, but you find those criminals out there, and they're doing their thing, and they're all shabby looking, shady looking, wearing their pants way down, you know, showing half of the backside, and just acting like an idiot. But when they get into the courthouse and they stand before the judge, they're all nice and neat in a suit on. They ain't never wore a suit in their life. They're shaved up, hair is combed. How many of they present themselves as somebody who has it all together? You know why? Because they want to impress that judge. Because they want to bring honor and show forth that, hey, I'm going to honor you because I'm in your presence, so I got to look like I do honor you. And that's exactly what happens to people when they want to honor God, honor authority. They just get shaved up. I mean, listen, they don't come to church raggedy. They don't come, friend, looking like they just got out of the ditch. Man, listen, friend, I just tell you tonight that if you're ever going to bring honor to God and bring honor to the church and bring honor to your people, I mean, that's like you getting married and you go out and get married and you ain't shaving in a week. Well, your spouse-to-be is going to look at you and say, negative. You go get shaved up, buddy. There's just something about when you go somewhere, when you do something with the way of honor, is that you get yourself in the way of looking like honor. Amen. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to, but the same thing he did, he changed his garments. Man, he put something on that was presentable. He put something on that, man, I'm fixing to be in front of Pharaoh. Man, listen, I've been waiting here for 2 years. I'm getting in front of Pharaoh. I'm going to look my best. I'm going to look my finest. I'm going to look presentable. And then when Pharaoh looks at me, he don't look at me and say, you old bum. He don't look at me and say, hey, man, that's honorable. That's impressive. I tell you what it does. It boils down the attitude of Joseph. Joseph had an attitude. I'm just not wanting to get by. I just don't want to look okay. I just don't want to get through. I just don't want it to be overcome. I just don't want to pass by. That I want to do it with integrity. I want to do it with character. I'm going to shave up and change my garments because I'm coming before Pharaoh. Well, that's an attitude tonight. I sure love Joseph. May I have that honorable and that spirit of attitude as he does. Boy, his behavior in verse 14 is just remarkable. He's not bitter. He's not angry. He's not hating. He's just shaving up and changing clothes. I want you to notice, number three tonight, that God uses man to help Joseph, but he uses Pharaoh. But he also, God uses his answer to help Pharaoh. May help Joseph. Think of verse 16, he says, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace.'" See, the Word of God is always a help to us. And what Joseph was saying is, "Listen, Pharaoh, I'm not trusting in the butler. I'm not trusting in you. I'm not looking to anybody. I'm just telling you, it will be God that will give you the answer. I can't do anything. I'm nothing." Boy, I tell you, he tells them there in verse 17, the future is spoken. He says in verse 16, "It is not me, but God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Look there in verse 25. He says, God had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Look at verse 28. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. I mean, it's very clear and very plain. In verse 32, he says, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. The future is spoken. And he gives them in verse 29 through verse 32. Let's read that. It says, "Behold, come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after these 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be grievous. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." The Bible says two or three establishes a matter. And God is obedient to his own word. So he gave the dream twice. The same thing. Each of those sevens, if you read the dream, I didn't read the dreams, but you can read the dreams. Both of them were of sevens. And both of them meant there was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. That's what it meant. And so we find that Joseph has given the interpretation of the dreams. So the future has now been spoken. God has given to Pharaoh, this is what's going to happen in the future. You're going to have, first 7 years is going to be plenty. You're going to gain, get. The next 7 years is going to be famine. So the future is spoken. Second thing I want you to notice is the future was suggested. Look what old Joseph suggests to Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh's going to get help here. He says in verse 33, "Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to that land against the 7 years of famine. It shall be of the land of Egypt, and that the land perish not through famine." So what's the future suggested here? Well, number one, Joseph says you need a man. You need a man, sir. You're going to need a man, and man's going to have to be discreet. Not just any old man will do. but one that's discreet. One that has character and one that has integrity. Now he's going to be discreet, but he's going to be one that's wise. He don't do stupid things. He's not a fool. He don't act like a child. He's mature. He knows exactly what God wants and what God needs. And not only do you need a man, but you need a plan. He says in verse 34, verse 36, this is the plan. You need to appoint officers over this. There in verse 42, verse 434 says appoint officers over the land. He said, then you need to take a fifth part and put it in the storeroom. And then you're going to need to take the rest, the last of it will be and put up so that when you have a famine, you have something to pull from. You have plenty to pull from. So that's a plan. He's given Pharaoh a plan. He says, you need a man, you need a plan. And then thirdly tonight, now is the future spoken. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. The future is suggested, a man with a plan. And then the future is settled. In verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. So we find tonight what the future can be settled with. There's a man that is Spirit-filled. When you find a man that's Spirit-filled, you'll find a settlement of the future. You'll find your future is bright. You'll find your future is prosperous when a man is filled with the Spirit of God. A man that's filled with himself tonight is doomed and damned and disastrous. But a man that is filled with God's Spirit tonight, even Pharaoh can put him in charge. Even Pharaoh will take all of Egypt and say, hey, it's all into your hand. There's only one greater than you, Joseph, me. Spirit-filled man. Spirit-filled man, you'll find, will have just answers. They'll just stay. They'll be persevering. They'll stay with the guns. They'll stay with the plow. They'll give you answers. They'll give you suggestions. They'll give you time to know, listen, it's going to get tough. It's going to get rough. But you can trust in me. I'm for you. I'm for Egypt. I'm for Pharaoh. I'm telling you, the future is settled with a Spirit-filled man. That's what we need tonight. We need men and women filled with God's Spirit. And I pray that you are. Because if we do, we've got a bright future. Not only do I notice a man that is Spirit-filled, but I also notice a man that is God-fearing. He says in verse 39, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Pharaoh is giving God the glory, which means that Joseph is a man who fears God. Man, when you have a man fearing God in your home, you've got a home that has a bright future. When you've got a God-fearing man in your church, you've got a future that is settled. If you got a God-fearing man as president of the United States of America, you've got America that is settled. Amen. When you've got a God-fearing man that's in charge, that's leading, that you can follow, that you can trust, that you can go along with, you'll find the future is settled. Joseph was that man. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that tonight, that there was help that came to Joseph. It was helped by man. It was helped by Pharaoh. It was helped by the answer that God gave to Pharaoh. Now let's look at verses 40 through 44. And I got three more points and we'll close. The Bible says, thou shalt be over my house. And according unto the word, thou shalt all my people be ruled. Only in thy throne, or in thee throne, will I be greater than you. Joseph was promoted. Wow. Why was Joseph promoted? Because he was a man that was Spirit-filled, and a man that feared God. Verse 42, or verse 41, says, the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Verse 42, verse 43, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and made him ruler of all the land of Egypt. Listen, not only was Joseph promoted, but Joseph was praised. One thing that men need tonight, the Bible says in Ephesians that their wives should reverence their husband. See, one thing that men needs tonight, they need to have recognition. One thing that will get your man a long way, if you want to get your way, is to recognize him. That is, when something's done, something is finished, something is completed, or something that is going to be completed, or something that needs to be completed, it always works by not downing him and by putting him down or by making fun of him or by criticizing him. It always works when you lift him up. Men are just made that way. We just like somebody to acknowledge what we do. Somebody tell us, listen, we appreciate that. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Women are not made that way. They like that. They get encouraged with that, but that's not all. They just want to make sure that they have some support and there's some security. They want to know that they are treasures in the mind and the heart of their men. We're not looking to be a treasure. We're looking to be respected. Amen? Joseph tonight, he was a spirit-filled man and he was a godly-feared man. And he found himself being praised by Egypt. He got help. He got help. Thirdly and lastly tonight, not only was he promoted, and was he praised, but he was protected. Look at verse 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. A protected man. Joseph got help. Oh, listen, man, I tell you, Joseph's been through it. But he made it. He's there on the other side now. Boy, we got some things going to happen here the next few days with Joseph. And I pray that you'll be back and that the Lord will continue to help us tonight. I love the life of Joseph. I want to be like Jesus. But if I can't be like Jesus, I'd like to be like Paul. But I can't be like Paul. I'd like to be like Daniel. I can't be like Daniel. I'd like to be like Job. I can't be like Job. I'd like to be like Joseph. Amen? If you're like any of those men, you're like somebody. Amen? As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.